Welcome to Peak Health, a radio show dedicated to empowering you to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life that you want. I'm Lisa Morse, naturopathic physician on the island at Fern Cove Natural Medicine. I'm dedicated to helping you uncover the root cause of your symptoms so that you can get back on the road to feeling well again.
And I'm Claire Denise, certified health and wellness coach and a personal trainer. Our show is going to bring you information to help you take charge of your health. We're going to cover topics like IBS, heartburn, thyroid disorders, autoimmune diseases, osteoporosis, nutrition, and lots more.
Hi, Claire.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
Good.
And you?
I'm doing well as well. Looking forward to talking with you today.
Me as well. I love working with you, and I'm kind of excited to hear what our topic is today.
Yeah. So the title of the show is Honoring Your Body's Intelligence.
Really?
Yes.
Are some bodies smarter than others?
No, actually, they're all equally, everybody's body is equally as smart as other people's, but it's just whether or not we are honoring that and realizing that our body is intelligent.
Well, that sounds fascinating.
Yeah. So basically what it means is that when we have symptoms, that there's a reason for those symptoms. And so a lot of times we want to just make the symptoms go away. Which, of course, I want to make symptoms go away when I'm not feeling well either. But I take a step back and think, okay, why is my body doing this? And, you know, investigate the reason for that and honoring my body's symptoms.
So does that play into the difference between, say, conventional medicine and naturopathic medicine that looks more at causes instead of just treating symptoms?
Absolutely. You got it.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah, so actually, I wanted to start talking about naturopathic medicine because I'm not sure that our society, if you even know what naturopathic medicine is, but then people who do know about it, that they really know the true definition of it. So I wanted to ask you, Claire, what is your perception of naturopathic medicine? What is it?
Well, I think it's kind of what I said before, that I think it looks more deeper. And it's not just hand out a pill because you have a symptom.
Yeah.
And the pill alleviates the symptom. And the word nature, I think, you know, can intimate that it's going to be more natural instead of coming, say, from a laboratory.
Right.
Or closer to the earth, which would, I would like that.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of your title of honoring our body's intelligence, because I think maybe if we don't understand what's going on in our body, then we don't react in the right way. We just try to either overlook it or deal with it. And naturopathic medicine seems to go to a deeper level so that you not only do you alleviate the symptoms, but you get at whatever was causing them in the first place.
Absolutely.
And I would say also that I have a friend who lived back in the Midwest, and she'd never heard of a naturopath.
Yeah.
Which shocked me. So I think we may feel a little like, well, of course I know what a naturopath is, but I'm thinking maybe I don't completely understand it. And certainly we live in a part of the country where there's more prevalence of that type of medicine.
There is. I mean, I think there's maybe like 23 states now where it is licensed, meaning that we are considered primary care physicians, and we are able to order lab tests and do many of the things that conventional MDs do. So
wow.
Probably your friend is from an unlicensed state.
Well, right? It does surprise me that not even half the states recognize
it. It is. Very sad. It's very sad. So I liked how you started about, you know, naturopaths finding the root cause of the symptoms. A lot of people think that naturopathic medicine means, oh, we're just giving a natural substance instead of a pharmaceutical. So, for example, if I have a headache, well, I'm just going to take some white willow bark, which is a plant, and it has salicylates, which is similar to what's in aspirin. So I'm just going to take some white willow bark and make it go away. But that's not it. It's like you said, finding the root cause of why do I have the headache? That's the important thing, because if we don't find the cause, then they're just going to keep coming. So,
yeah, whatever it was, salicylates, most people would say, I'll take an aspirin.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Tylenol, or, you know, there's a myriad of products on the market now, none of which I'm all that excited to learn about even. But what I do think that supplements and what we eat and a few other basic concepts are part of naturopathy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I really think what we eat can be as strong as a pill.
Totally. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So I wanted to talk about naturopathic medicine and the tenets of naturopathic medicine. So, you know, what us as naturopaths, what we believe as far as medical care. So the first thing is first, do no harm, which I think most doctors have that, you know, tenet in their philosophy. But as far as naturopathic medicine, it's not suppressing the symptoms, because we actually believe that suppressing symptoms is harmful. So say, for example, you have eczema on your skin and I just want to make it go away. So I put on some kind of cream to try to make it go away. It's suppressing the skin eruption. And as naturopaths, we believe that most skin issues are not a problem of the skin, but a problem of the internal organs, like the digestive tract or the liver or the kidneys. And so if we're just going to put a cream on the skin, make it go away, it's actually going to drive the disease deeper in the body.
Very interesting.
Yeah. And we actually see this with the allergic triad of allergies, eczema, and asthma. It actually, if we suppress allergies, they often go to eczema. If you suppress eczema, it goes to asthma.
So what it sounds like to me is, if I'm understanding what you say correctly, that when the body presents this symptom, in this case, eczema, it's trying to get rid of it through the skin.
Yep.
But it's that's only the sort of the delivery mechanism. It's not the cause.
Yes.
In and of itself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I had a friend that had asthma and she stopped taking her inhaler because she was just like, I want to get off this and I don't need this. And basically her eczema flared up. So it goes in the opposite order too. So if we suppress something, it will go deeper. Suppress the eczema, it can go to asthma. And then if we stop suppressing the asthma, it can go backwards, actually, in an order of healing. So eczema will come out and then we don't suppress the skin eruptions and we deal with the allergies. Yeah. And it works both ways.
So if you weren't treating the skin eruptions, mm-hmm. How do you figure out what's really going on?
It's not easy. I mean, definitely. And that's one thing about naturopathic medicine, is it's not easy. We have to dive deep and really work at it and investigate. And so, you know, I would, at that point, if someone has a skin issue, I want to look at their food. You know, do they have food allergies? How is their liver working? How is their kidney working? Do they have dysbiosis, which is an imbalance of the good and the bad bacteria in their gut? So all those things we have to look at.
So you mentioned the kidney and the liver. Would those be because those are sort of detoxing organs?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so the skin eruption in this case is sort of a toxicity that it's trying to say, I'll come out this way.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I think we've kind of talked about this on another show. You sound very educated about it.
Well, it never hurts to visit it again.
Yeah. So yeah. So back to the tenets. So that was first, do no harm. So we do not want to suppress. And then treating the whole person, obviously we want to treat the mental, emotional, and spiritual. And actually one of my mentors that I learned from, he would always say that all physical illness comes from mental, emotional, spiritual.
Wow.
Which sounds kind of crazy. But when you think about it on an energetic level, like the energetic level is the highest one is spiritual. And then I think maybe emotional is beneath that, and then mental, and then physical. And so, yeah, I mean, I've just seen it too, like practicing medicine, you know, people who have issues, usually it comes from some kind of mental, emotional, spiritual. Now breaking your leg, maybe that's a little bit different, but.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's treating the whole person, and then treating the root cause. We kind of already talked about that. You know, why is our body doing this certain thing is for a reason. prevention. So that's being proactive and embracing practices that keep you healthy instead of being reactive, which is when we have a symptom and we want to just fix it. So
so proact instead of react.
Exactly. Yeah.
In natural medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are tenets of naturopathic medicine.
I'm a person that has come to you because I have eczema outbreaks, and I'm all for figuring out what's really going on and alleviating it or eliminating it.
Yeah.
But what about the fact that my eczema is bothering me and it's itching or is that part of what you also address?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that is a tough one. I mean, we can do things to soothe the skin, you know, oatmeal baths or things like that, but we don't want to put a cortisone cream on there or something like that. It definitely takes willingness on the patient. I mean, patient's part, you know, sometimes people, they just want the drug. They just want it to stop. So you have to be willing to honor your body and be patient.
Well, I like that term, though, because it makes me feel like I'm doing the right thing and maybe gives me a little more energy to endure the fact that it's uncomfortable. And of course, I'm just using the same example,
right?
The eczema, but it could be something else as well,
right?
That's manifesting.
Absolutely.
Symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then the next one is doctor as teacher. So I help my patients learn how to take care of their body. And a lot of times people will come with the attitude that, oh, well, Dr. Lisa, she's going to heal me. And that isn't the case. I am there simply as a guide. I don't heal anybody. Actually, the body heals itself. And so I'm just supporting them on that path and giving them guidance.
Well, I want to just stop you there for a minute, because if I were to come to you with a particular issue, I would definitely be putting my faith in your experience and your educational background and those various pieces. And I would perceive you as a partner. Mm-hmm. In my recovery.
Right.
But I for a minute there, it sounded like you weren't giving yourself enough credit.
Maybe that's true. I mean,
I get that the body heals itself, but I mean, you're a facilitator of that.
Right. Happening. I have the knowledge on how to guide people down their healing path. And you know, I'm not minimizing that knowledge. It is huge, because if you don't have the knowledge, then you don't. It's funny because I think back to before I went to naturopathic school sometimes and how my life is now and how it was then. And I was clueless. Like, it's just funny because now, not clueless, I shouldn't say that. But now, like, things that I think about and do, they just seem so second nature. Like, doesn't everybody know this, you know?
As a health coach there, I have had that thought sometimes as well. And the answer is no.
Right.
They don't.
Right.
Everybody has their strong points, but not necessarily the same as yours or mine.
Yeah. So I just take it for granted, you know, and I have to sometimes say, Lisa, like, you have a lot of knowledge that people need
you
to hear.
You do, Lisa.
So yeah. Yeah. So that's doctor as teacher. And then the last one is the healing power of nature. And basically, this is the belief that the body has an innate ability to heal. And that if we give it the body the right conditions, that it will heal.
I've heard that about antibiotics, that it's the antibiotics might be suppressing the bad guys, so to speak, until the good guys are strong enough to take over.
I don't know about that one.
No. the theory is that it doesn't kills off all of the flora.
Yeah, I mean, because the antibiotics kill the normal flora too.
Right. Okay. I know that, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe I said that wrong, but I have heard something along those lines that it's to assist the body in getting ready to be positively dominant as opposed to, you know, being stuck in illness.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know.
So, I mean, I'm just wondering, can you talk about some other ways that we honor our body when it's unwell and it's trying to heal? What are some other symptoms?
Yeah, we are going to talk about that.
But good.
You're psychic. But I did want to just say, so I talked about the tenets of naturopathic medicine, and I wanted to just kind of add that naturopathic medicine, there is kind of a wide range of naturopaths. Some are tending to be more towards conventional, and some are, you know, trying to stay towards the more traditional naturopathic medicine. And sometimes it's just, for as far as when for the doctors trending towards conventional, sometimes it is easier to just give a medication, and that's what the patient wants. You know, they don't want to stay home from work because that resting, they have to rest and they have to, you know, lose money maybe not going to work, or another example is they don't really want to change their diet. They just want to eat how
right,
they
want
to eat.
Right. They want the shortcuts.
Yeah. Even if they have digestive issues or joint pain. And so, you know, naturopathic medicine, it's not easy. I'm not saying that. I think conventional medicine is kind of easy, you know.
It's possible that we've sort of grown used to the doctor being able to fix whatever our symptoms are.
True.
So we can go back to feeling a number one.
Right.
And we want that shortcut because everybody's so crunched for time. And
it's true.
A lot of people are stressed. And so they want... I remember reading an article once where it said the doctor told the patient to take a hike.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the patient was very unhappy that they were told
You mean like take a hike
yeah,
outside?
Yeah, take, really, go
oh,
take.
I thought you
not
meant
the expression
like...
of, you know, get lost or whatever, but to actually go out and take a hike, you know, like be in nature, get some activity and so forth. And this
nice.
Person really wanted a pill.
Yeah.
And was probably headed to someone else to try to get what they wanted. Their decision on how they would be cured.
Right. Exactly.
That they should have gone to the doctor if they thought they knew more than the doctor.
That's true too. Yeah. They just wanted to know what drug to take. Yeah. Okay. So back to your question about, you know, give me some examples. So the first one is fever. So most people think that getting a fever is bad, but actually it's a good thing. It means your immune system is working. So when we get an infection, there's chemicals produced by the bugs or by our white cells that go to an organ in our brain called the hypothalamus and actually change the set point of our body's temperature. So not normally 98.6, but when we get that illness and those chemicals go to the brain, then our body will maybe adjust the set point back up to 100 or higher to like 100 or 102 or whatever. So yeah, it happens for a reason. And the reason is, I don't want to get too scientific here, but when we do that, it's called the Bohr effect. Ooh, I don't know if anyone knows about that.
The what?
The Bohr effect. Basically, we release more oxygen to our tissues, and that oxygen is used as by the white cells to kill bugs.
Huh.
Yeah, so it happens for a reason. And so when you do get sick and you do get a fever, it's important to let the immune system to do its job, which means no Tylenol, no aspirin, no ibuprofen, because those bring down the fever and stop the body from what it's doing.
Does it end up like prolonging whatever's going on if you suppress the fever?
Well, it could. I mean, that makes sense because we're suppressing the immune system. We're not letting it kill the bugs. So maybe they're kind of hanging out longer.
So are the bugs killed by the temperature? And most bugs can only...
They're killed by the oxygen that's released because of the higher temperature.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Because they're anaerobic?
No, because... now you're getting really into chemistry here,
okay.
Claire. The oxygen is involved in some kind of reaction that produces hydrogen peroxide. I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Hydrogen peroxide.
I'm sort of fascinated by this, so...
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting.
Dangerous.
It is interesting. So yeah, now obviously if you have a fever, I want to say check with your naturopathic doctor that believes in the fever and vitalism and that your body's intelligent, because I mean, it can get dangerous if it's an elderly person or an infant. If that person's vitality is very low, it can be a challenging situation. And so I'm just putting that out there for the listeners. Like, well, at least Dr. Lisa told me just to let my fever go. You know, you want to have a doctor that you're working with that.
Okay. So is there a point at which you say, oh, it shouldn't go any higher than this?
That's a good question. I mean, I would say it depends on the circumstances. Like I said, it depends on the person, how's their vitality. But I mean, in general, 104 is what I would say. Okay. You don't want it to be higher than 104. And there's things that we can do as naturopaths to help without suppressing the fever to help bring it down. That makes any sense. You're looking at me like.
Well, I'm just thinking that I just the expression, the fever broke, just popped into my mind. And I was wondering, you know, you'll hear that, you know, like fevers are higher at night, less during the day. And, you know, but when the fever breaks, then the person's becoming well again, usually.
Woo-hoo. That means those bugs aren't there anymore, making the chemicals, causing the, going into the brain, making the brain raising the set point. So it's good. Yeah. So when people don't get fevers ever, then we're concerned about the immune system, you know, because a good functioning immune system when you get sick, depending on the bug. I mean, with viruses, we don't always get fevers, but actually children often do. I don't know if you have experience with that.
I would say children are more readily get fevers than adults do.
Right, because they have more vitality than us.
Oh.
In general.
Oh, dear.
Because they haven't gone through life and have been suppressed with all kinds of things. Because every time we suppress the body, we're just changing it. It's not going to be responding as well to things.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking when I was little, my mother told me that I would get cold when I was getting sick.
Uh-huh.
And is that something that is along the same lines of when your temperature goes down a little bit?
So you would get cold, like you would feel cold?
I would feel cold, and she would take my temperature, and it would be less than 98.6.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. And I actually almost never, ever get a fever. So I guess
Claire,
I have a
we better
bad
start.
Immune system.
We better start amping it up for you.
Okay.
I thought you got sick recently. I thought you told me you had a fever.
I had whatever the respiratory crud that was going around last October.
Yeah.
I don't recall if I had a fever or not.
Okay. Maybe you didn't.
I don't even know if I took it. Mm-hmm. I just coughed my head off for a month.
Yeah. Well, I get excited when I get a fever and people think I'm crazy.
You're excited like because,
my family and my friend, my husband, he's just like, here she goes again.
That is a little kind of odd quirk.
But it means my immune system is working. Because actually, I didn't get fevers for a lot years and years. I feel like. And just in the last, few years, I've had a couple. So
if would you say if you don't get fevers and your immune system is not working?
Yeah.
Are you still getting sick?
You could still get sick. Yeah. It just, maybe it's not functioning up to the par, you know, that we want it to be.
Huh.
Yeah. You can still get sick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't a show about me, so.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to say that when you get a fever, you should not eat. So,
feed a cold and starve a fever?
That's right. I
know because I've often wondered about that, you know, which it is.
Yeah. So that's one of the times to fast. The other time I recommend fasting is when you're in pain. So like gout would be a good example. I don't know if you know what gout is when your toe gets inflamed.
Kind of do,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but you only want to drink water if your temperature is above 99 degrees Fahrenheit. Give your body time to focus on the infection. And then once your fever goes down, wait 8 hours after it returns to normal to eat food. So, and then usually what I recommend is like a vegetable broth to break the fast. So like just something very gentle, celery and carrots, you know, simmer them in water and then drink the broth. And then eat the vegetables and then just wait and see what happens. And hopefully your fever should, or your temperature should stay normal. And then you can start eating again, which I normally recommend the vegetables and maybe some protein. You just want to go real slow.
So if someone is hungry but has a fever, you should not feed them?
No.
Can you give them fluids?
Yeah, and water.
Just water?
Pretty much water.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it's hard.
Okay.
Yeah. it's just helping the body do its job, honoring its intelligence. And then I wanted to also mention, we're coming up here on the end pretty soon of our talk. We're going to finish off with fevers and we're going to have to continue it next time, which, by the way, you're listening to KVSH, Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM. And this is Dr. Lisa Morse and Claire DeNice. We are on Peak Health, where we're talking about your health and trying to inspire our listeners.
We're also would like to just remind people that we get a lot of support from Windermere Realty.
Yes. Thank you so much, Windermere.
Yes.
Okay. So the last thing I want to talk about before we sign off for today is febrile seizures. Do you know what those are, Claire?
I'll have to take the fifth on that.
Okay. Basically, it often happens in children, but it's when a child has a seizure because of a fever.
Because the fever goes up too high?
Usually it's because the fever rises very quickly in a short amount of time. And obviously they're very scary.
What does febrile mean?
Febrile means fever.
Okay.
Yeah. But they are not harmful. Usually they're short lasting and they only occur once in about 24 hours. And, you know, we want to make sure that they're not from other causes. You know, if there's some kind of infection in the brain or, you know, other metabolic issues that can cause seizures. But there's an estimate that 2 to 5% of children under the age of 5 have a febrile seizure at some point in their life.
And that's why?
Well, I don't know that they really know. Maybe so. I don't know. I'm sure there's probably some research out there. I just haven't read it. But it's when the temperature increases very rapidly in a short amount of time. So my guess is that there's a lot of chemicals that are coming from the bugs or from the white cells, and somehow that is affecting the brain. And I don't know the details, unfortunately. And
maybe it's the immune system really wanting to, like, do a fast tune-up.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be it. But somehow those chemicals are probably affecting the brain. But there was a study in 2009 showing that medications to reduce fever do not prevent febrile seizures. And that was randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blind trial. I'm not a big research person, but I just wanted to put that out there that, yeah.
Are they dangerous?
No, they're not dangerous.
To have a seizure?
No.
How long do they last?
Usually less than 15 minutes, which seems like a long time for me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about them, so
yeah.
I'm curious.
Well, that's good. That means your children never had them.
No, I don't think they did.
Yeah. So I just wanted to mention it. So I think we're going to have to sign off here, and, you know, we have more to talk about next time.
Can I summarize quickly what I've gotten out of this is that you are describing honoring your body, working with its natural processes, which are manifested by apparently putting stress or distress on the body. But it's actually a good thing instead of a negative thing.
Right.
So whether it's a fever or a skin eruption, or maybe you're going to talk about some other ones in the second half.
Yeah, we are.
Learning to work with those and be willing to, again, get digging down a little deeper into the root causes.
Yeah.
So those manifestations and any others could eventually be eliminated.
Yes. You got it, Claire.
Good job. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. And this is Peak Health Radio Show with Dr. Lisa Morse and Claire DeNice, where we are wanting to inspire our listeners to take back control of your health. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks, Lisa.